A blind girl hated herself, and in fact, hated everybody, because she couldn't see, except for her very faithful boyfriend. And she used to say to herself, if only I could see how the world really is, then I'll be ready to marry you. And one day, a pair of eyes was donated to her. Of course, she had the surgery. The day the bandages came off, she opened her eyes to the amazing beauty of the world. But in an instant, she was so shocked, seeing her boyfriend sitting right next to her, his eyes completely shut. He was blind. And so the boyfriend asked her, now that you can see the world, are you ready to marry me? But looking at his eyes, the eyelids shut for all the time, and to think that she was going to live with that man, it simply wasn't attractive enough to her. And so she refused to marry him. You can imagine the boy was devastated. He was so disappointed. He got up quietly and walked away. After a few days, he wrote a letter to the girlfriend and said, my dear friend, I want you to take very good care of your eyes, because before they were yours, they were mine. In a nutshell, he had sacrificed his own sight that the girlfriend might see. So he goes blind. The girlfriend acquires physical sight, but is blinded spiritually. She could only judge by what she saw. She didn't see beyond, and she didn't even remember that recall the times that she was blind, and this man was so loyal and faithful to her, she refused to marry him. Well, today, on this fourth Sunday of Lent, our focus on cross-training shifts from dealing with toxic relationships and to healing of our blindness. And the readings today adequately address this issue. They speak to us about the possibility of a twofold blindness, physical blindness as well as spiritual. And in fact, the spiritual blindness would even seem to be more serious. God gives us proper vision in our body, but also in our soul. And he instructs us to be wary of this insidious nature of spiritual blindness. It just creeps up on us. So spiritual sight allows us, as the scriptures say, to see as God sees. And we realize that even in the first reading, seeing as God sees was something lacking in Samuel, who was sent to anoint a new king for Israel from among the sons of Jesse. He needed to get God's help to heal his blindness, and therefore get beyond the fact of basing his choice on external appearance. He needed to go beyond a flawed judgment based on experience, based on the external experience. which did not meet God's approval. David, the youngest of the sons, the most unlikely human choice, was God's choice. So we can even see that Samuel and the father, Jesse, father of the sons, were both not seeing as God was seeing. And so in today's gospel also, Jesus heals a man of his admitted blindness. And he progressively begins to see, and not only by sight, but also by faith, more importantly. We can say, as the story unfolds, we begin to see that this beggar, he actually is moving from being a beggar to a theologian. He seems to be understanding Jesus Christ and who he was more than the scribes, more than the Pharisees. He describes him, first of all, as the man called Jesus. And then upon further interrogation, he says, oh, he's a prophet. He identifies Jesus as a prophet. And in the final analysis, it goes beyond Jesus being a prophet to Jesus recognizing him as the Lord. So he goes on his knees. And so this happened because the man faced up to the truth about himself and his need for healing. Paradoxically, those who pretend to see are the ones who progressively are exposed in their blindness. They are seen to be spiritually blind. And who are these? The religion-oriented people, the Pharisees who distinguished themselves as those who were the guardians of the law and would build a fence around the law and will severely sanction any smallest infraction of it. They were the people who couldn't even see beyond that the laws were leading to Jesus Christ and couldn't make that leap. Stating the truth and his belief about his healing, he exposed the spiritual blindness of his inquisitors. But they couldn't stand that. They couldn't admit that in humility. They sacked him. They drove him away and would not benefit from his insight. You are born truly a sinner and you want to teach us. I just simply love this guy. The beggar there, the blind man says, I've told you before, and you still ask me, are you now going to believe in him? The default, I just love the way he argues with them. But they couldn't. They had religion, but lacked the spirit of Jesus' love. They refused to see pain and injustice. There was no compassion in their hearts. In short, they were truly blind both to the Holy Spirit and to human misery around them. Spiritual blindness is very common in modern times, and we are often afflicted by it in varying degrees and forms. What is called for today is for us to realize that we need to allow Jesus to heal our spiritual blindness. And we all have those blind spots. Be it in our marriages, be it in our parenting, be it in our work habits, or be it even in our personalities. There is such a thing that the psychologists or social psychology, where they call something like the Johari's window. And that is a kind of a box which they try to show portions of. Look, I know what I know about me, right? And you know what I know about me, right? But there is a certain part of me that I don't know, and you know about me, all right? there is that portion of it. That is a kind of a blindness. Sometimes we are unaware the way we come across when we act, when we talk. That is probably hidden to us. It is kind of a blind spot. So rather than remaining in dark and preferring darkness to light, let us remember that Jesus wants to heal our blind spots. And we need to ask him to remove them, especially the root causes of our blindness, namely self-centeredness, greed, anger, hatred, prejudice, jealousy, addiction to evil habits, and hardness of heart. These causes some amount of spiritual blindness. Selfishness, it blinds us to the needs of others. Insensitivity blinds us to the hurt we cause other people. And sometimes we can be snobbish. And snobbery blinds us to the equal dignity of others. Pride blinds us to our own faults. And prejudice blinds us to the truth. Almighty materialism blinds us to spiritual values. All these things, they say, do to the window of the eye what the curtain does to the ordinary window, and they prevent the person inside from seeing outside, what is outside. And so we can have good eyesight and yet fail to see much, see so much that is good, that is true, and that is beautiful. I guess you all have probably have heard of Helen Keller. She was born blind. She was blind from infancy. And this is what she says. The greatest calamity that can befall a person is not that he should be born blind, but that he should have eyes and yet fail to see. And so, if we can be so blind regarding to things of external world, how blind then can we be when it comes to the world of the invisible, the spiritual world? It's not as if we have been left alone. The Lord has the antidote. He invites us to embrace him and be healed. Let us not allow the world and Satan to blind us so that we forget our real identity and our call to discipleship. That we are called to promote justice and peace and to set an example of what it means to live according to God's way, according to God's law. And it means confessing by word and deed that Christ in our lives really makes a difference. This will involve a disciplined life of prayer, the study of God's word, for God's word is a lamp unto our feet. It involves worshiping with others, other fellow Christians. It will mean not being afraid to stand up and be counted in public. Not being afraid to stand up and be counted in the crowd for defending our Christian values. And Lent is a good time to renew our gaze or to fix our vision, our eyes on the Savior, Jesus, who came so that we can be assured of forgiveness for such blindness and for the times when Jesus has come to us through his word and we have been too blind to see him calling us forth to action. Amen.